much like the slaves recently freed from servitude in Egypt, their patience worn out by the journey. Some of those called to research and teach the faith of the church frequently give themselves over to complaining against God and Moses, those in charge over them. The freed slaves complained about being in the desert, no food, no water, no end to the sand and the scorching days of wandering. Some of our more prominent theologians complain about a desert of sorts. They complain about the magisterium's version of the faith, noting that rock-bottom fundamental doctrines such as the incarnation, the resurrection, the sacrifice of the cross, the Blessed Trinity, all of these sometimes are excluding. They're rigid. They're authoritarian, privileged, absolutist. And worse, these dogmas of the faith of the Roman Catholic Church are white, European, and worst of all, rational. Since these theologians are mostly slaves to fashion, they wander a desert of fleeting premises, trendy conclusions, and temporary commitments. These particular theologians believe one conclusion dogmatically, however. The shifting sands of culture triumph over the rock of faith every day, all day long. And so we read paragraphs like this one from Father Peter Phan of Georgetown University, formerly of the University of Dallas. He writes, "The church would be very different if the resources of other cultures were marshaled to reconceptualize the whole gamut of the church's beliefs, liturgy, moral practices, and prayer. What if the God the church worshiped is depicted as a multi-ethnic, multi-racial, multicolored, gender-inclusive deity? What if Jesus is presented as the Buddha, the Guru? What if Mary is seen in parallel with Guanyin, the Buddhist Bodhisattva of compassion? What if the Bible is read and interpreted in the context of other sacred writings, such as the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, or the text of the Buddha Dharma, or the Muslim Quran?" Notice something here. We are to reconceptualize the whole gamut of the church's beliefs, liturgy, and moral practices, etc., based not on any further revelation, not even on a deeper understanding of the revelation that we have, fulfilled and finished in Christ Jesus. No, we are to reconceive and alter the whole of our Christian faith based on the demands of alien gods, books of foreign theologies, and practices contrary to the faith. So listen again. "You will have no other gods before me." Where is the uniqueness of Christ? Well, Christ isn't unique. There are hundreds of saviors. There are hordes of avatars out there. Where is Christ, the final revelation of the divine Trinity? Well, Christ isn't exactly the last word of an ongoing, unfolding revelation. There are millions of unwritten Bibles out there. Where's the exclusive claim that God the Father has on our allegiance as his children? Exclusive claims. We are inclusive, open, free. All the gods claim us. Now, are there differences in how various cultures live out their Christian faith? Of course there are, and thank God for them. But the faith comes first. Culture is shaped by faith. Sand blows around the rock. The rock does not shift and slide every time the wind blows. Okay, enough of that. So why am I beating these theologians, these dead horses? Today we celebrate the exaltation, the triumph of the Holy Cross. The triumph of the Holy Cross over sin and death. Oddly enough, we must be reminded on occasion that we owe our eternal lives to the single sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He emptied himself. Son of God emptied himself. Became a slave like us for us. He humbled himself and made himself obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Ignoble, criminal, unclean, despicable, he was executed. And because Christ did all of this freely, yes, with some anxiety, and with some sense of having been betrayed yet again, but because he commended his spirit to his Father for our sakes freely, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Open your eyes to see. Open your ears to hear. God loved his creation so much that he sacrificed his only son, Jesus, on the cross. He did this so that everyone who believes in Christ might not die, but have eternal life in him. God did not send his only son into the world to condemn the world, but to save us all through his son, Jesus Christ. The final triumph of the cross will never be the serene Buddha nailed to the wood of the cross, or the gruesome Kali, mother destroyer, sitting on the cathedral altar waiting for a blood sacrifice, or a gospel reading from the elegant Quran. Never. The Son of Man, the Son of God, must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus Christ, final, unique, singular, the one and only name given under heaven and earth for our salvation. Now, with apologies to some of our impatient theologians who complain against God and Moses, and just in case we need to dispel any confusion whatsoever, let's hear it one more time. God greatly exalted Christ and bestowed on Christ the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.